Blog Talk Radio.
Because God's trying to tell you I'm going to do it this week. Run, mama, run. That's it. Prophesy. I got to preach. I ain't got a whole lot of time. But will you push your neighbor and tell him God said he's going to do it this week? God said he's going to do it this week. Okay, y'all. Come on, get your Bible. Let's turn our attention to the screen. I don't have a whole lot of time. If you was going to shout, you should have shouted by now. Come on. Come on, Tyra Hill. I got to get out of here. I got 18 minutes. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 32. I just got a conviction in my spirit that the longer it takes me to praise, the longer it takes God to do what I asked him to do. But if I praise God quick, I believe God going to respond. See, some of y'all still waiting on your flesh. You still waiting on your mind to catch up with your spirit. You got to make your... You got to call your mind subject to your spirit. I don't care what it looks like. The man of God said it's going to happen this week. If God didn't want you to hear it, he'd have let you overslept. You in the room because God wanted you to hear me say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it this week. Come on. I'm going to do it this week. Talking, that's okay. Don't say nothing. Don't say nothing then. Just stand up in here and look cute. Don't say nothing. You're going to have to wait another week, but I'm decreeing and declaring what I've been waiting on God to do, it's going to happen. Push your neighbor, tell him you better say something or get off my road. You better say something. God's going to do it. Come on. Hebrews. Y'all so rebellious. Sit down, please. Sit down. Come on, tell your friend to sit down. You didn't wait it this long. You can wait another week. You can wait to June. You didn't wait it this long. Just you ain't in no rush. You ain't. I got some demons I need God to kill this week. I got some devils I need God to deal with. Somebody said before I leave this building, I got some... Y'all all in my time, but I need somebody to scream like by the time you get in your car. Y'all excuse me, but I feel the Holy Ghost. Somebody praise him. I feel that in my spirit. By the time you get in your car, whatever you want to do, Jesus. However you want to fix it, Lord. Yeah. Ah, Lord. Ah, Lord. Come on, let's go. I feel churchy and I got to preach some of y'all. Some of y'all don't need a break. You just came to get a word. I'm sorry, but it's about 326 of y'all that say, I need a breakthrough. come on, get your Bible. You need a... Get your Bible.
Show me your face, fill up this space, my world needs you right now, my world needs you right now. I can't escape being afraid, fill me with you. My world needs you right now.
Show me your face, fill up this space. My world needs you right now. My world needs you right now. I can't escape being afraid. Fill me with you right now. My world needs you right now.
Power fall down, bring with it a sound that points us to you right now. Erase substitutes right now. Fix what I see. And God, please fix me. Let us see you right now. My world needs you right now.
Show me your face.
Oh,
fill up this space. My world needs you.
That's why I'm not ashamed to say.
Yeah.
yeah, yeah.
Come fill this space. My world needs you right now. My world needs you.
Because of the Lord.
Yeah. the mistakes, and the blood has washed away. Someone gotta give God a shout.
Thank you for your blood on this morning. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Worldwide Gospel Connection. I am your host, none other than Apostle Donnell Douglas. We're here to encourage, inspire, and strengthen you through the Word of God. It's what we do on a day-to-day basis, and we're just excited about what the Lord has to say to us on this morning through our brother, our friend, none other than Evangelist Coleman Cox will be with us here shortly, and we're just excited about the Word that he is going to share with the body of Christ on this morning. Listen, you guys that are listening in, we're going to have an exciting time. Remember, call a friend, tell a neighbor that the Worldwide Gospel Connection is on the air. And that number to call in is 563-999-3628. Again, that number is 563-999-3628. And you can get in contact with us by calling in. Now, remember, guys, those of you all who desire prayer, those of you who just want to share how the broadcast is blessing you, or you guys just want to just come on and just want to just be an encouragement to the guest or to the host, you can do so when you call in. And by pressing that one, and that will acknowledge that you want to speak. Again, press that one button and they will acknowledge that you want to speak. That will put you in the queue to let us know that you would like to speak on this morning. Again, that number is 563-999-3628. Press 1, and we'll be just happy glad to have you guys come on and be a part of what we have here on the Worldwide Gospel Connection. Now, as always, guys, before we get started, before we go any further, let us go into effectual fervent prayer for the broadcast and for our guest on this morning. Gracious and eternal Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come before you, O God, in the presence of these, your people. Father, we pray today, God, as you take reins and take charge of this broadcast on this morning, Father God, that you would do what you do best, and that is be God and be big in our life. Father, we're just excited about what you will have to share with us, through us, and to us on this morning. God, we thank you for your touch. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love. We thank you for this being God and being God all by yourself. For it is in you we live. It's in you we breathe. It's in you that we have our being. Father, we cannot do anything without you. So we just want to say thank you, Father, for just being God and being God all by yourself. And for all that you do, God, we want to say thank you. For you are an amazing God. And beside you there is no other, and we cannot do anything without you. So we want to say thank you. Bless and magnify your great and wonderful name. In the mighty and rich and infallible name of Jesus the Christ we pray. And the body of Christ said, amen, amen, and amen. We want to make sure we also acknowledge all those great countries that are listening in on this morning. We want to say thank you for taking out the time to be a part of what we're doing here on the Worldwide Gospel Connection. We also want to make sure that we share our morning verse with you this morning. And our morning verse is coming from John 15 and 13. Very powerful passage of scripture. It says, greater love hath no man than this, that he lie down his life for his friend. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for a friend. Amen. That is such a powerful, powerful passage of scripture. I don't want to get too deep into it because that is very powerful passage of scripture. I want to make sure we acknowledge those countries this morning, and those countries are the United States. We have Canada. We have Brazil. We have Ghana. We have Guyana. We have Nigeria. We have Kenya. We have Zimbabwe. We have South Africa. We have Jamaica. We have Saudi Arabia. We have China. We have Hong Kong. We have Germany. We have Bulgaria. We have Russia. We have Mexico. We have the United Kingdom. We also have Paris, France. We have Japan. We have South Korea. We have Ireland. We have India. We have Portugal. And we have New Zealand. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys, so, so very much for the continued support and connecting with us across this great country. We want to say thank you. We are honored. We are honored. We are honored. We are honored to have you to be a part of what we do on the Worldwide Gospel Connection. And we understand that some of you guys that are listening in, we're praying for your country, because we realize that for you to be able to listen to this gospel of Jesus Christ is taboo. They're taking lives. They're actually dragging people into the streets and making examples of them. They to even have the possession of the Bible, the Word of God, in their homes is considered as an infraction in their country, and they will bring you out into the middle of the street and make an example out of you because you are sharing or you have the Word of God. So we here on United States soil, we should be so grateful, that's the word I'm looking for us to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ in the way and the magnitude that we share. But we want you to know, all of you great countries that are listening in, all of you all that are under the taskmaster's rule, we want to let you know that we are praying for you. Not only praying for you, we're consistently and constantly going to the Father on your behalf, because we understand that the enemy's desire is to sift you like wheat. But watch this here. We're going to pray for you. We're going to intercede for you. We're going to call on the name of Jesus for you, because we know that prayers of the righteous avail it much. It would turn the hand of the enemy. Amen. So we want to say thank you for your consistent and continual support, and know that we are here for you. We're praying for you, or we're praying with you on that matter that you guys are dealing with. Amen. So we love you so very much. We appreciate you so very much. Now, remember, guys, we have our guest this morning with us, none other than Evangelist Coleman Cox will be with us here shortly. We're going to go ahead and take a really quick commercial break. And remember, guys, share that number. That number is 563-999-3628. That number again, it's 563-999-3628. Call a friend, tell a neighbor that the Worldwide Gospel Connection is on the air, and that we are here. We are here to share and embrace you in the Word, and let you know that the Word of God still works. Amen? Amen. So let's take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You guys are listening to the Worldwide Gospel Connection.
Let the church
say
amen. to what His Word says. God has spoken.
God has spoken.
No matter how you're feeling,
amen,
or how your world is reeling,
amen,
battle on through the night,
amen,
cause you're gonna win the fight,
amen,
even in the valley,
amen,
or standing at your Red Sea,
amen,
continue to say,
amen,
cause your help is on the way. Let the church say, oh, lift your hands wherever you are and let the church.
Church say amen. Listen, we cannot hold our guests any longer. We cannot hold our guests any longer. The man of God is on the air with us this morning. I present to some and introduce to others none other than our brother, our friend here on the Worldwide Gospel Connection, Evangelist Coleman Cox. Man of God, you have the floor, man. Come on in.
Hey, praise God, man. I really appreciate the opportunity. And, man, hopefully we can connect and share something with the world that'll help heal the world, because right now, man, we're broken. But I believe that God could do a miraculous thing through words at this time, because He is the living Word. And I know,
yes, sir,
sure, because He saved my life. He,
amen,
saved my life, man.
Amen.
So, amen. Let's go for it, man.
Amen. Amen. You know, we might as well go ahead on and dive into it, man. We're on a cusp right now of so much going on in this world. We've had 14 of our babies.
Yeah.
Might as well go ahead on and say they were executed.
Yeah, they were.
14 of our babies that was executed by someone. And this is not this, and I want y'all to understand this. I want y'all to hear this real clear. I'm not glorifying this young man. But he was in pain and did not know how to deal with the pain that he was in. This is Man Up Monday. This is Man Up Monday. Brothers,
right.
Listen to me real good. Listen to me real good. We have God Almighty. We have a responsibility. We have a responsibility as being men to speak life to these young men. This is our responsibility. This is our job. That young man very well may have been turned from his decision if the right man was in the right place. Am I helping anybody this morning?
Oh, you did. You're definitely helping me, and that's where we need to fill in the blanks. The Bible says in Romans 15:1, it said, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves." So if we're true believers, we have to fill in the blanks for the young men that are fatherless. Now, sometimes they can have a man in the house, but they don't have a father in the house. It's a difference between being a man in the house and being a father in the house. So sometimes we as fathers, the ones that are competent enough and have that gift to fill in those blanks with these young men, it's our obligated duty to fill in those blanks. It takes a village. It takes a village to raise a child, especially a young lion. And what the apostle, the bishop, is saying is absolutely right. I blame myself. I sent a text to a young man this morning that's head of a mentorship program. I say we could have did more. If somebody would have been in that young man's life and told him, hey, man, just because you failed at this and just because people talked about you, just because your house is in disarray, you're still somebody. Although we don't know that if that would have changed something, but it probably would have. See, we always worried about the things that happen. What about the things that haven't happened because of our obedience? That's the whole thing. It's a lot of things that we stop from happening because we're obedient in God's word, man. So it all comes down to choice. I had a brother call me the other day, someone that I mentor, someone that I pastor, because it's not all about being in the pulpit to pastor. When you shepherd people's soul, when you're a shepherd, you're just a shepherd. He called me. He say, "Rev, why?" I say, "Why what, man?" He said, and I'm pretty sure a lot of you all out there that's listening have this question. A lot of people scared to ask the question, but I'm not scared of anything because I don't fear anything but God.
Yes.
He said, "Why did God let that happen to those babies, Bishop?" He said, why did God let that happen to those babies? I say, check this, man. God, from the beginning, gave us the opportunity between life and death. He said, "Eat not of this tree." That's one thing that God didn't control was our choice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when Adam made that choice, everybody want to blame it on a woman. No. Adam made that choice. And when he made that choice, everything opened up, sin opened up, and now we're paying the price for sin. And that's where Jesus Christ comes in at. But sin is still running rampant. So choice, it all boils down to choice. That young man made a choice. Why did God let that happen? He doesn't interrupt the course of life.
Of choice.
No, he doesn't do that, Bishop. But what we can learn from it, now that something like that happened, even the bad things work out for the good.
Just like
when Martin Luther King was marching and all those people got murdered and killed. Look at where we at now. We're not where we should be, but we're not where we used to be because of the sacrifice.
Yeah.
And I know this is a hard pill to swallow right here, y'all. But those babies' lives were sacrificed for a good purpose. You know why?
Yeah.
Because it raised an awareness that we need to be more prudent in that area, that we need to put prayer back in the schools, that we need to mentor these young men even more. You understand? Sometimes that's what it takes. Look throughout the Bible. You can't blame God. And I know a lot of you out there like, why God let that happen? No. He sacrificed his own son. Death has to come. It's no getting around. All of us have to die. But it's a process. Now, of the world is what he did. He pricked the heart of the world. Now he raised the awareness of, wow, you know, this really can happen. Evil is present. You have to understand that it's a darkness out there that proceeds what you think is evil. They have some real evil people out there. This is real warfare. This ain't nothing to play with. You understand? And it ain't just about spiritual, which it is spiritual, but it's natural too, because we have to do something. Faith without works is dead. God is a God of motion. Everything is in motion. So we have to do our part, Bishop. Our babies.
Yes, sir.
Is what we have to do.
Sir. Yes, sir. You know, I was sharing yesterday with a young man, and what I was sharing with him, you know, we were talking about choices and, you know, making the right decision and all this other stuff. And one of the things I shared with him was this. I gave the example of two houses. And I use this example quite a bit when I these analogies quite a bit, because I want people to see how choices can affect your life.
Yeah.
How choices can affect, you know. So we have two identical houses that are right across the street, that's right next door to each other. The identical families. You have a son, and then you have the dog, and then you have the husband. Comes down the stairs, one house, the man comes down the stairs, he kisses his wife, he reins over, and he hugs his son, and when he hugs his son, he's walking out the door, he's getting ready to walk out the door, he pats the dog on the head, and his wife hands him his briefcase and hands him his cup of coffee, and goes on his way, gets in his car, and he drives on down the street and goes to work. Typical house, typical manager.
Yeah.
The house next door, that same scenario. This time he comes, the man that's in this house comes down the stairs, sees his wife and just backhands her, just slaps her so hard till he knocks her up against the wall. Sees his son sitting in the chair and cusses him out just from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. He's walking in out the door. He sees the dog. The dog is in the way. He kicks the dog with everything he got to knock the dog out the way. He opens up the door and slams the door, walk to the car, get in the car. He smoke up a bunch of weed, bunch of marijuana, get all high, and he gets some of his homeboys, and they get into this little thing and how bad their situation is and what's going on, and they decide to go rob a bank. They go rob the bank, and in the process of them robbing the bank, he gets killed. He dies. I said, and my question after that is, I asked him, what is the difference between that man that made the decision to get up and go to work and that man that made the decision to go and kill all, and go and try to rob a bank? I told him the difference is all of it is simply a choice.
A choice.
You chose to do it. You had, and see, this is the thing. This is the thing I love about God. And every one of our decisions, God, help me right through here. I felt the Holy Ghost. And every one of our decisions, man, there is an intervention that takes place. But we have to be willing to see the intervention that takes place. We have to, oh, my God. We have to be willing to see the intervention that takes place. It's not, and this is the thing. It's not always evident because we're so upset, we're frustrated, we're mad, can I use this common vernacular?
Please.
We're pissed off, we're upset, we're agitated, man. And the crazy part about it is because we're so mad and so upset and so frustrated and angry, we mess around that and we make decisions out of our pain.
Yo, glory. God,
I was listening to this man, and this man, bless me. This was years ago. This brother was up preaching. He said, don't make a permanent decision on a temporary situation.
That's it.
Don't make a permanent decision on a temporary situation, because we can be so frustrated in the temporary thing. God says, the Bible says it like this, says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Now we quote that portion of the scripture, but we don't quote that first part. He said, but his wrath is but for a moment. We got to understand that the place of anger that we're in is but for a moment. We can't hold, oh my God, we can't hold on to anger forever. Can I help you? We got family and friends, and this is my plea to all of you all that's going through, because I honestly believe the reason why that young man made that decision and did what he did was because there was strife in the house. Fix it.
Yeah.
Fix your issue. Fix your issue with your son. Fix your issues with your daughters. Fix your issues with your brothers. Fix your issues with your sisters. Because watch this. Today is not the day. I'm going to bless you real quick. Today is not a good day to die. Spiritually or naturally, today is not a good day to die. Don't die. Come on here. Let me help you. Don't die in a place that you don't need to die in.
That's it. That's it. What I've learned is this, Evangelist,
we have to learn how to see a situation and know the difference between God working that situation out and us needing to walk away from it. I'm gonna say it again because that blessed some people in the back. We got to learn how to know when God is in the situation and it's a situation that we need to just walk away from and leave it alone. Because we give more attention, God help me, because we give more attention to that situation than we really need to. I told you earlier that the Lord has been dealing with me on this one phrase, access denied.
Right.
I mean, it's just been something that's been radiating in my spirit for the last couple of days. Access denied. We allow people, situations, and circumstances to live free, live rent free in our head. And I'm gonna show you how crazy this thing got. I used to work for a company, and I'm riding down the street with my wife. We were actually on our way going somewhere, and I stopped at a stoplight, and I just said out loud, and that was the craziest thing that ever went on. And my wife looked at me and said, what? I said, I'm just rewinding in my mind something that happened. But watch this here, Brother Cox. The craziest thing about it was this. It was from an old job that I had, that I used to work for over 3 or 4 years ago, and it still got room in my brain. And some of us are walking around with that same mentality and mindset where we're still angry, upset, and frustrated. God help me right through here with some folk, with some situations, with some circumstances. Nah. That's why, sir, that's messing up the whole chain of what's going on in our life right now. And we have to learn. We have to learn how to close some doors, Doc. We got to learn how to close some doors because, watch this, in our place that we're in, we're losing our children because we're not in our rightful place because we're so caught up with everything that's going on with us.
Yeah, we're we in our tag in right there. We're so caught up in self. You're absolutely right. You can look at the internet; it's all about self portraits, taking selfies. Everybody's so selfish, and to accent what you were saying about access denied. It's just like on your cell phone. Just like on your cell phone, on your computer gadgets, because this is a technology age, we set passcodes to get into these components. And sometimes we forget those passcodes, and guess what? If you forget it, access denied. This is what the Bible says in Mark 4:12, because we're of God, so we always have to bring it back to God. Chapter 4, verse 9, then Jesus said, this is the Christ talking. He said, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear.
Mm-hmm.
When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, he said, the secret, here it goes right here, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside. So if it's those on the outside, it must be an inside. It's common sense. Man up Monday. We're going to keep it real. We ain't going to get too spiritual on y'all. We're going to keep it real. Everything is said in parables so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. See, this is the thing, access denied. You have to choose, like the bishop, the apostle, the man of God said, you have to choose to do the right thing. You have to choose Christ. And see, this is the thing, when you choose Christ, that's your access to the secrets of the kingdom. And then that's when you get the revelation. Because he said, let this mind be in you that is in Christ Jesus. It's about changing your mindsets. It's what it is to make the right decisions. You can't do it. You can't do it on your own. Check this.
Mm-hmm.
I had a decision. Mm-hmm. I'm about to keep it real with y'all. It came a point in time in my life, since this is my first time on this broadcast, I want to be very transparent. Can I be transparent, Dr.
Yeah, be transparent, Doc. That's what this broadcast is all about.
In 2001, 2000, I was a horrible individual. I was facing 30 years in prison. I was a drug dealer. I was a robber. I left my family. I left my wife. I walked away from 4 kids. And I found myself in a situation after some time while I was facing 30 years because I got caught up on I-10. For you that don't know, that's a freeway out here in the United States. And it came to a point where I was sitting in front of this lawyer, and this lawyer said, baby, they offered you 30 years. I'm like, what? I had never been in trouble before. They're offering me 30 years. So right there at that point, I had to make a choice. So I asked God, I said, God, if you're real, show me that you're real. Everything about me, I'm going to give to you. All of my attributes, all of my gifts, all of my manipulation skills, all of my gift of gab, all of my management skills, and so on and so forth, I'm going to give it to you. But I don't want to go to prison for 30 years. Guess what he did, Doc? He made me go through that court, I swear. He made me go through that court case for 7 years.
Wow.
Because he wants to make sure that I understood that this was him. They had me jammed up. They had all the evidence. They had all the evidence they needed to put me in a slammer for pretty much the rest of my life, man.
Yeah.
But I made a decision. I made a choice, like that man in that house that pet the dog and kissed his wife. I said, I'm going to give up everything. See, this is the thing. We talk about sacrifice. Men, it's time to stand up. We have to make the necessary sacrifice. We're the kids.
Yes,
it's no getting around.
Yes,
it's no getting around.
Yes,
stop pointing the finger at these women. It's your fault that you're not standing up and being the man that God created you to be. You have to sacrifice. You're always going to be fighting against the flesh. The flesh
always wants
to dominate because we're men. You know, it wants a lot of women, you know, because that's what it is. It's a natural thing. Look at nature. Look at the lion.
Yeah.
They have several lionesses in their pack. It's a natural thing. Now, let's deal with it for real now. Now, anybody who say they don't have the urge is a bald-faced liar, or they just don't like women.
Wow.
Now, let's keep it above. Let's keep it 100. Anybody who says that when the family is working their nerves and their wife steadily nagging and steadily complaining, whoever says that they don't want to pack up their stuff and leave, they lying. You lie, and guess what? You lying to yourself.
Yeah.
Because nobody else don't believe that madness. You have to stand.
Right.
You have to sacrifice. If you say, look, we always say, oh, man, I'll do anything for my children. Man, I'll die for my wife. I'll die for my family. Are you serious? Do you really mean what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you just mm-hmm. got that because that's something you heard Denzel Washington say. You got it off of TV because it sounds live, it sounds gangster, it sounds big.
Yeah.
But when it really comes down to it, will you die to your ways?
Yeah.
Will you die to your ways?
Yeah.
Will you sacrifice your flesh? No, I would not. I would take the persecution. Even if you're not wrong and you get persecuted in your house, stand. Take it.
Yeah.
Because your family's depending on it. Your community is dependent on you. Wake up, sleeping giants. It's going to take us to take it back. I don't care what creed or culture or color you are. It's going to take the man to take back his rightful place that Adam screwed up in that garden and left there for us to get this world back where it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
They had an old parable. In the African village, they tried a little test module to where they took all of the men out the village, Bishop, and they left all of the young men there with the women. And guess what? The village went away. The young men were all over the place, and the ladies couldn't keep up with them. Everything was in chaos. You see. But then when they brought the men back to that village, everything settled. Why? Because it's the natural order of things. Of course everything is out of place. You know why everything is out of place? And I'm going to let the bishop flow right here. You know why everything is out of place? This is the key. This is the solution. They talking about gun laws. Yeah, all that's good. But no, this is the solution right here. You know why we fighting? They killing people in Ukraine and killing them babies and taking these people out in the middle of the street. and shoot these people in front of people? You think you got it bad out here, America? We spoiled. You think you got it bad? You go over there and you see what some people going through.
Yeah.
The reason why the world is out of place is because the men are not in their places. Point blank.
You know, I'm sitting up here and I'm listening to you, and there was a study that was done on the black man, and I'm just flow with the people about it. I'm not trying to turn this into a black whatever you want to call it. I'm not trying to turn it into that.
No,
but I want to show you something. I want to show you something. They did a study where they showed how they took the black man out of the community. They took him and put him in prisons, gave him all these different things that he desired. And when they did this study, they showed how they would just take this black man and break him down to his lowest common denominator, where he was just like, felt like he was nothing. Let me bless you real quick. The community went down. The black household went down. Our children got caught up in all kind of different things. Our women had to take the role and take position.
That's right.
And it just created complete and total chaos in the black community. Fast forward to today, we're still experiencing the effects of that experiment right now.
That's it.
It's not as broad. It's not as much of an impact as it was back then, but we still have some neighborhoods. We still have some areas of we're in Houston. I'm gonna talk about the place I know. I live in Houston. We have some places still here in Houston that is affected by what's going on in this world, by that experiment, simply because of the fact, watch this, our responsibility as a man,
that's it,
has become, watch this, a place where we don't love each other. Watch this, the Bible says it like this. This is our morning scripture. And I was trying to figure out why God took me here. But he says, greater love have no man than this, that a man lie down his life for.
That's it. Sacrifice.
If we as the men, we have a caller that's got his hand up. I see you, Doc. I see you, caller. Give us a moment. I'm going to get to you. If we learn how to embrace these brothers in love,
that's it.
Because a lot of them, I'm gonna tell you the reason why. I'm gonna tell you the reason why a lot of them act. Because they've never experienced love.
Love.
I ain't talking about a half of a love. I ain't talking about a piece of a love. I'm talking about a love.
Agape. Agape.
I love you. Listen, I love you. I know you're a drug dealer, but I love you. I know you're a gangbanger, but I love you. Listen, watch this. Let me help you real quick. I know that you in that lifestyle, but I love you. See, because a lot of them have, God help me, a lot of them has never been genuinely loved.
Loved.
So they don't know what that looks like. They don't know what they can't. were strings attached to it.
Yeah, man.
There were strings attached to it, and that's what they're used to. They're used to somebody saying, I love you. You know I love you. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't ask you to do this for me.
Right.
If I didn't love you, I wouldn't do. I had a young man, and I was just doing things, just genuinely, just doing some things, you know, just genuinely doing some things. I would invite when me and my family would go and do something, I would invite him to come. I would tell him, I say, man, we're going to do such and such, man. You want to hang out? And one day he walked up to me saying, he said, man, why did you keep inviting me out with you and your family when you all go somewhere? And I told him, I said, man, because I love you. He said, no, man. He said, it got to be more to it than that. He said, because you got to want something. You got to want something from me. Because you keep inviting me out. You're going to give me the surprise at the end, right? I said, no, Doc. I said, I got everything I need. I got everything I want. I said, but what I want you to understand is I can love you and you ain't got to worry about me ever having to ask you for nothing. Now, you can come and ask you for whatever you want. And if I got it, it's just as good as yours. And watch this here. When I give it to you, I'm not expecting it back. Because it's out of love.
And I want to throw one thing in there because I know we got a call in there. And it's just one quick quote by the late L.P. Jolivet, which is my mentor, which mm-hmm. is my hero. He's my hero. That was my late pastor. He just passed about 6 months ago. But he was extraordinary. He told me this. This is one of the principles that he taught me, and I've based the ministry that God has allowed me to manage, because it's not my ministry. It's what God has allowed me to do to play my part. He said, and then I'm going to be quiet and listen some more and listen to this other caller. He said, listen to me, man, because I believe something is, and I'm just now, Bishop, starting to operate in the prophetic, and I'm loving this new gift. God is starting to show me things. Something, and I know I'm jumping, but something's on the horizon, Bishop. All right, let me get back on track. But something is on the way. He said,
he said,
people, man, please y'all listen to me. I hope the world is listening to this. If I die today or tomorrow, take this and build on this. He said, people do not care how much you know, because everybody always trying to show how much they know and their accolades and show how many scriptures they know and show how educated they are and so on and so forth. Ain't nothing wrong with that, but you got it backwards. People do not care about how much you know until they know how much you care.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Point blank.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't care about that.
And on that point, we're going to bring you in, Carla. We're going to bring you in.
Yeah,
and we're going to let you speak. We're going to let you speak. All right.
Good morning.
Good morning. You're on Worldwide Gospel. Good morning.
How y'all doing?
What's going on, preacher?
Let me tell y'all something. The both of y'all. Y'all blessed me this morning. Y'all really did, because it is a call for us to really just take back what the devil thought he stole.
Yes, sir.
Can I say that? And it is a cause for us to really stand up and through all persecution and through all ignorance and through all blame and everything the devil want to throw at us, just look at them and stand still.
Yeah.
You understand where I'm coming from? Because a part of what y'all are talking about, especially with the young men, they don't see enough of us standing. They used to us just tucking tail and just walking off as opposed to just standing. Now, don't get me wrong. When God say move around, then go and move around. Because usually when he say it's time to move around, it's because he's getting ready to pass judgment in that area. And you don't need to be nowhere near that. Okay?
Yeah.
But for the most part, it's time for us to just stand up and look at him straight in the face and be like, no, I'm going to stand, and I'm still going to give you this work, which is the word of God. Okay, don't come to me with your lies. I'm still gonna give you this work, and I like the fact that you are walking in the prophetic, Pastor Cox, because it allows you to see what normally couldn't be seen if you wasn't walking in that lane. Because now you're able to really make a determination of what's really going on as opposed to hearsay. I like the fact that you're walking in that lane. Go on, keep walking in it. Embrace it and don't turn back, because I can tell you from experience, it's going to be sometimes you're going to be able to see stuff and it's not going to be appealing to you. It's not going to be easy to swallow when you see stuff like that. But go and walk in it, because ignorance is not bliss. Okay? Walking in ignorance is just like walking with blindfold on, or either being like Samson and letting ignorance guide your eyeballs out.
Right.
You understand where I'm coming from? Now, go on, walk in that prophetic. Go on, walk in what you see. And it's really not, you know, it's not a call to, you know, speak it or whatever. 9 times out of 10, God only revealing it to you for you to pray. You understand where I'm coming from? But now you know what to pray for. Because you see it.
Yeah.
Y'all bless me. And, y'all bless me. Y'all did, because I was working out at first. But I seen you post, say, hey, call in. And I came from out there, gym, and I called in. And, come on. I like this right here. I like it. This is good for my soul.
And you know what, Reed, this is the thing. And Minister Reed was, you know, Minister Reed was on this past Monday. You know, and one of the things that we got to realize too is we need this like we got what we got right. We need to be able to be encouraged by one another. Can I help you real quick? A lot of these young men that are out there right now, the reason why they're doing what they're doing and living the life that they live and doing the stuff that they and engaging in the places that they engaging in is because they got the wrong interaction with the wrong people.
Yeah.
Their encounters, God help me right through here, their encounters that they're having is with the wrong people. I was sharing with a young man Sunday, and what I told him this, I told him, listen, when I preached my first sermon at 21, I'm 50 years old right now. So at the end of this year, I'll be 52 at the end of this year. Let me help you real quick. When I preached my first sermon at 21, the pastor that I was under put mentor in my life. I thank God for the mentor that was in my life. Now, I'm going to show you an example. I'm going to show y'all a quick analogy real quick. Into my life, 3 mentors. Actually, he put 4 mentors in my life. He put 1 mentor in my life that when he put in my life, his responsibility was to call, check on me, make sure I'm reading my Bible, make sure that I'm praying, make sure that I got my meditation time and all this other stuff. And he would call me, he'd say, what you doing? I said, nothing. He said, all right, well, I was just checking on you, see what you're doing. And he'll hang up the phone.
Yeah.
Now, I had another mentor that would call me. He said, what you doing? I said, he said, nothing. I said, nothing. He said, well, your nothing needs to turn into something. He said, because you need to be either one or two things. You either need to be praying, or you need to be in your word, or you need to be seeking God for something. He said, because your nothing can lead to a whole bunch of something if you're not careful. I said, yes, sir. He said, so I want you to do this. This is what I want you to do. These are the scriptures that I want you to read today. I want you to read the book of Proverbs, yada, yada, yada. I want you to read the book of Psalms, yada, yada, yada. And when I call you back later on in the week, I want you to tell me what you got out of these scriptures. And then he put another mentor in my life. The other mentor, hey, man, what you doing? Nothing. Die. I really ain't got nothing for you today, but I want you to know, listen, whatever the other mentor said, dude, you do that. I was like, okay, and he hung up the phone. And he'll call, the other mentor that would call me. This other mentor was the hell taskmaster. Right now to this day, he is my brother. He is my friend. And I'm going to shout him out real big because that's my brother. His name was Matthew Dillard. And he was one of the ones that pushed me. Listen, make sure that your life that you preach behind that pulpit is the life that they see you in outside that pulpit. He said, don't ever let that be different. Always, listen to me. He said, always represent yourself the way you need to represent yourself in God, outside the pulpit as well as inside the pulpit. He said, if they see you in the grocery store, you need to have that same exact mentality and mindset that you got inside in that pulpit that you got out. He said, your life needs to line up with what you say. He said, because before they pick up a Bible and read a Bible, they'll read you.
Wow.
And that man, I'm telling you, that man of God was the one who changed. Every last one of them changed my life. But watch this here. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you. And later on in life, I tried to figure out Brother Coleman, Brother Reed. Listen, this is what I tried to find out. I tried to find out, why did he put these other two dudes in my life if he knew that they wasn't going to do what they supposed to do? And then God began to show me. He said, he had to give you some bad stuff and some good stuff at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. And the flow off of that, Bishop, so we can keep it a buck, so we can keep it 100. I think Pastor Jenkins is on here also. Man, how you doing, Pastor? One of my other pastors, man, out of Studiwood. But when you said about the bad and the good, when I was young and my daddy used to sit on top of my mama and bash her face in. And me and my little brother used to sit Indian style in the doorway.
Yeah.
And watch this. It did. It fractured my mind and my heart because I love my father. I love my daddy.
Yeah.
You know, and he wasn't even my biological father, but he treated me like I was his son. And I was his son. But to watch him do that to my mama, it broke me in a certain way that I'm still in pain from what we saw and how he did it, man. But I have to make a choice.
Yeah,
I have to make a choice, and you know what that choice was? Either I could grow up and be just like him and abuse women the way that he abused my mama, or I could do something totally different, because I didn't want my kids to go through what I went through. So I took that bad situation, just like those kids in Uvalde, man. I took that example of darkness, and I decided that I'm not going to allow my children to go through what I went through.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yes, we have to take those bad situations and we turn them to good decisions. But it just goes back to it. It goes back to choice. I had a debate with a preacher who really didn't understand where I was coming from. We were talking about baptism, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Man, baptism is necessary. I said, yes, it's necessary, but it's not the only thing. Yes, baptism is the only thing. Once you baptize, that's it. You come up a new creature. I said, yeah, look good on paper. I say, but it all boils down to, I don't care how much oil somebody slang on you. I don't care how much somebody lay their hands on you and speak in tongues.
Coleman, you better work,
how many times you go up to that altar and get slain in the spirit. I don't care how many times you sit up there, Lord, forgive me, so on and so forth. But until you make a choice, until you make a choice, all of that is null and void. You go down in the water, a devil, and you come up, them old folks used to say, a wet devil.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make the choice. Wow. He said, this is what he said. He said, believe that Jesus Christ is, I'm paraphrasing, as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth.
And believe with your heart.
And believe, and see, this is what we meant, man, hey, man. But hey, the bitch invited me on here. I'm going to keep it 100. And everybody know me for keeping it 100. I ain't scared of nothing to nobody but God. A lot of us mess up when we tell people, repeat these words.
They're like a seance or
something like that. This ain't no freaking seance. Repeat these words after me. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, that's your Savior. Repeat after me, say this, they say that, you're saved.
No.
How are you saved? You confess it with your mouth. You did the first part, right? But he said confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. How can you believe in something that you don't know about as of yet? You haven't experienced Christ. You don't know about Christ. Just because you spoke these words don't mean that you saved. And then they leave out of there thinking it's all good. And it's not.
It's not.
And it's not. Because it's a process. Man, you better understand it. You know what? And if it wasn't about process, come on now. God is God enough to where he could do what he want to do, correct? He could have been like, when Adam made that big old mistake, God could have said, okay, bam, I forgive you. Bam, let's start over. I mean, ain't he God? He's God.
Yeah.
He could do what he want. But God is not one that a lie, because he told him that if you eat of this apple, if you make this choice, you will surely so he made that choice. He ate of that apple. So now God can't go back on his word.
No,
God enough to put something in motion, in process, to redeem us back to him. So it's a process. I didn't understand the whole God thing. I didn't understand. Let's keep it 100. I didn't understand why God would have to send somebody down here to save me. Why he can't just save me? Come on, y'all. Come on, preachers. Let's keep it real. They got people out there with some questions. We run from them questions. Why God had to send somebody? And he done. He created some universes in the galaxies. He created everything. He created things that we don't understand and we don't see. Why he had to send a man down here to die for me?
Mm-hmm.
He could have just forgave me. Why, preacher? That's how they coming. That's how they coming.
Yeah.
But it's a process. It's the same reason. See, this is the thing. And And I'm gonna be quiet because Pastor Jenkins on there, and he's man, he's a powerful man of God. It goes way back before the earth was created, y'all. Choice, choice is the key. That's what opens up the portal. That's what opens up the gifts and the nuances of God.
Yeah.
Because you know why? God gave the choice from the beginning, not from the beginning of earth. We got to know that it was life before earth, baby. It didn't start with us. A lot of us think because of our finite thinking that it started with us. When the human beings was created, that's what God. No, he's the Alpha and Omega, and he's been here. He don't have no creator. Don't have no creator. We can't wrap our minds around that because we are creation. Of course, we don't understand that. But it's about choice. Let me show you how that choice was here before the planet was formed. Because Satan, Beelzebub, one of the most beautiful angels in creation that played music to move God. He's not this red monster that the world has dictated or pictated. He's not this ugly monster. He's already deceiving us there. No. He moved God with his music. How you move God with your music? That's something special. But what God didn't take even from the angels. I know a lot of people say the angels didn't have no choice, but I'm here to break that myth because it wouldn't make any sense if Lucifer had a choice. He saw how he moved God. He saw how he moved God, and he moved the angels, and now something is built up on the inside of him in being jealous. We gotta be careful of that, man. That's a vision killer. That's another one that we got to deal with as men. That envy, that jealousy. Stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. Just because you're not in the forefront don't mean that you're not important. We got to break that myth from the beginning of what we know. He gave Lucifer this gift. Because God created everything. He created Lucifer. He gave Lucifer this gift to move him. He gave it to him. But guess what? He gave him choice. He gave him a choice. And guess who else had a choice? All those other fallen angels that chose to follow Lucifer. It's about choice, y'all. That's the gift. Why are we missing that? We got to choose this day who we will serve. That's how we access the things of God. Even the ones. And look, this is the thing. A lot of people saying, I'm almost finished, y'all, but I got to get this out of my system. Even the ones, preacher, I didn't have a choice. I'm about to hit home for a couple of different people right here. You see, for the ones that has lived with a silver spoon in their mouth. And I ain't talking about rich. I'm talking about having a healthy household. That's a silver spoon. It's levels to the whole silver spoon thing, baby. Because just because you didn't have a daddy, you had a loving mother. But what about the ones who didn't have neither? What about the ones who had the mom who could give two cracks less about them, selling them to the drug dealer, selling their bodies to people to get a fix?
Right.
Molesting them, let men come and molest them. What about them?
Yeah.
What about them? They're hungry and desolate. What about them? They didn't have a choice in that situation. Well, preacher, how can you talk about choice and then not having a choice? Because it's the same thing. Because even when you don't have a choice, it's the glory. It's the choices of others that affect you.
Yeah.
We're surrounded by choices.
Yeah.
Like the animals.
Yeah. Yeah.
That we're surrounded by all of the atoms and molecules in the air. We're surrounded by choices. And sometimes they dictate our life. But then we have to stand up as men and inject. Okay, hold on. I'm almost finished. And inject. That's what I said. I-N-J-E-C-T are infect. We have to be infectious like COVID. And let these babies know.
let the strong bear the infirmities of the weak, because God is not dealing with the, he's not going to mess up the order of things. So you're going to have strong, you're going to have weak. You got people who are mentally retarded. They didn't have a choice. You got people that have been through those kind of situations, man. They didn't have a choice, but it takes people like ourselves to let them know that, baby, it's hope. I know you don't understand what love is. I know from the time that you was born, from you when you were 1 week old, they was touching on you.
Yeah.
I understand you was beaten on by your family members. I understand people turned their back on you. I understand because you didn't do good in school, they said you was stupid and that you'll never amount to. I know what you've been through. I know, but baby, let me build you back up. Let me let you know something. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Just because you're not like status quo don't mean that you nothing.
Come on.
It don't mean that you nothing, baby. Although you don't have no legs. I've seen people with no legs, no arms, still testifying. You still have something to give God. Guess what you have? You have the ability to show people that it don't matter what you don't have. If you accept God, your light will shine even more because people looking at you. How can you do what you do with what you have? You don't have any legs. You don't have any arms. How are you still running in the Olympics? How are you still praising God when you have a lack of? You see? And then it brings us back down. It humbles us at what it is what it does. It makes us appreciate. Yeah. See, this is the thing, and I swear, in my last closing, like the old school preachers say, in my last closing, this is the thing. How can you appreciate light without talk? How can you appreciate it? That's why right now, and I'm finished for the day, because I've said quite enough, because the Bible says be quick to listen and slow to speak. I appreciate it. I've been married to my wife for 18 years. There's some of you brothers out there that's out there struggling with your relationship and making decisions. I'm proud to say it. It's my third marriage. I've been faithful to my wife for 19 years. And just like I said in front of the church the other day, it's not because I love her so much. I love the ones that I was with before and had others on the side. It ain't about love, man. It's about a choice because I saw what happened when I left my family and it destroyed my children. Not destroyed.
Yeah.
It hurt them. It destroyed because that's never to come back. And God has reconciled that situation. So let me get that right. I don't want Satan to use me. It didn't destroy them, but if God wouldn't have used me or if I wouldn't have made a choice to be a father and stand up in that situation, I would have lost my babies. I made a choice. So that dark situation, listening to my kids cuss me out and tell me that I'm not nothing and that they hate me, and listening to the world telling me, hey man, you worse than the infidel, and the Bible saying that because you're not taking care of your business, being convicted.
Yeah.
See, that's what happens when you. When you accept Christ and God in your life, what it does, it creates a God-given conscience. Because without that, your mind is willy-nilly. You're doing whatever you want to do. But I made a choice not to be how I was because of what I lost. That's the dark situation. How I hurt my first wife. She loves me. And I like to kill that girl. Because I was treating her. And I made a vow that I would never treat nobody like that again. You understand what I'm saying? And the last thing, and my fourth closing, when I made those decisions, God blessed me profusely. I understand that you're in a situation right now, and it might seem desolate for the ones that's sneaking to listen to this. Because people don't want you listening to the gospel. Baby, just know that it's hope. And this is the thing. Even if you're in a situation, and I'm about to get real right here, because everybody don't make it. We got to get out of that. We got to keep it real. Everybody don't make it. Some people die. Like them babies die. Those babies died in New Balance. We have to make a choice that God, Jesus Christ, is our Lord and Savior, because this is the one. Because this is not, hey, man, whoever's listening in that kind of situation, just know this is not the end. Even if you lose your life, you gain eternal life in God. Just know that.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Listen, Doc, we had a caller, man. Let's see. I think he dropped off. Let's see. Had a question.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
No, you good, man. Listen, this is what this broadcast is about. This is what this broadcast is about. I got the caller. Caller, you there? Your mic is open. Go ahead and share, Doc. Caller, you there?
Hello.
Yes, sir. You're there. You're on. Did you want to share this morning? I see you put your hand up in queue.
Oh, is it? I don't know if you responding to me. My name
yes,
is.
Sir, responding to me.
Oh, okay. I didn't know how this works. How you doing? Coleman happens to be my best friend. I want to get that out there. And glory be to God, man. I'm ecstatic because I'm so proud of him. You know, and everything. I agree with a lot of things he's saying because, you know, we rap about it. And I mean, man, all I want to say is I'm just now. I was asking myself a question talking with God, and it was about mental health and being hungry and about hunger. And I was trying to see which is more important, being hungry or having mental health problems. I don't know why God brought it to my attention like that, but I'm that type of person that thoughts just pop in my head, and he gets me to being curious about it, and I go further with my thoughts of trying to get my today's, you know, kind of like finding my path for the day, because you know my way. Yes, my ways didn't work for me. I'm 50 years old. I can truly say that God has been a truly, you know, royal blessing in my life. And but yeah, you know, so I figure, you know, a thought came to me: feeding the mind, being hungry, you know, feeding the mind versus mental health. So I guess it's all one and one to me. You know, they have to both be delicately, you know, tampered with. You know, and in feeding your mind, you have to feed your mind with the right foods. The foods have the right ingredients. You know, like brother said, that goes with the process.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know, it's the process in everything. And I want to say something that I battled with just the other day. Okay. I was looking out of my window, and I had my grandson right there by me while my wife was doing his hair. And the thought popped in my head. I don't know, you know, again, things just popped in my head to make me think about things. Okay. Mm-hmm. 2 days before, well, okay, let me say that day to make this story short. That day I sat and something said, thought made me think about kids. I guess because I was looking at my wife doing my grandson's hair. And it made me think about kids. And I said, man, kids, you know, and kids pass away. And kids, you know, things happen. And I'm like, okay, kids, it went to kids passing away. And I said, okay. I'm like, well, God is powerful. Why God can't just, you know, bam, you know, if he's almighty and all-powerful, why can't he just make things, you know, kind of like some things with Evan Cox said. And I said to myself, I kept asking myself, like, you know, why couldn't he just make that what's coming? So it went to, okay, we have a purpose. It says that we all have a purpose in life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, from animals to human, we everything on this earth has a purpose. And I thought about kids. Okay, kids haven't, it's kids that wasn't born through, you know, didn't never make it out their mom's belly. It's kids that, you know, died from natural causes. It's kids that got killed. And I'm like, okay, what was it? And to be honest, and like I said, keeping it 100, I called my best friend. I called real. I was like, hey, you know what? What made, I mean, you know, what was their purpose? They wasn't developed yet, didn't get, you know, what was their purpose? You know, I know my purpose. I'm still seeking my purpose. I'm on the right road. I may not be complete at bam, this is my purpose right here. But there's many things that could be my purpose.
Yeah.
But it's only one thing that stands of being my true purpose. So I guess I'm saying I'm going, you know, up the ladder of trying to figure out what it is. But God got me on the right path. Thank him for that. That's another testimony about my life. Trust me, I got a story. But they have a purpose. They had a purpose. What was their purpose? And that was my question to him, you know, what was the purpose? And my purpose, it came up to choice. And it's crazy because me and this brother be on wavelengths, man, is out of this world, man. We can finish each other's sentences. I wanted him. It's like throwing some bait out there. I want to see and confirm what I was thinking to see that I know I ain't crazy.
Something
is bringing me to choices. And when I talked to him, bam, in his discussion, he told me choices. And I laughed. I wanted to tell him to stop him that, hey, bam, you get, that's what I wanted right there.
Yeah.
And it goes back to that. Because I was at a funeral that a preacher preached on that exact thing, and it stuck with me. And it's been like 6 years since this brother I know been gone that the pastor spoke, and he said, and it stuck with me. Choices, man. We going everywhere in the world. We trying to put on everything on our bodies, from the women to the men, make your bald head, get your face back. You know, make your lips that small be big, make your, you know, your donk and all that.
Right,
man.
Right.
We going and searching everywhere and trying to do everything and to go to talk to anybody about something that's right there in ourselves. Yes. I swear to God, man, I'm so passionate about this type. Man, I'm so proud of my brother right now, bro. I'm so passionate about this world. My name is Bro Keithman Britton. That's Preach my name that my godmother gave me.
Mm-hmm.
And, hey, man, God is good. I have so much to talk about. I have so many thoughts. God is on me so tough, brother.
Yeah.
My testimony is that January the 16th, all my life, I'm 50 years old, I never heard God talk. I asked questions about how can you hear him talk. And he finally talked to me, had me in this room, sick as a dog, snot, nose, crying. And guess what? Not snot, nose, crying because of something was going wrong with that pain, because I was happy now. I was so proud of myself. Not everybody else said me I'm proud. I was proud of myself because I finally heard God talk to me after all those old folks telling me one day you would. I finally, he showed me from my incarceration time from here to Louisiana. He brought me back to some days that only I can know and profess that that was God talking to me, man. Some things he revealed to me that I had questions for years about.
Mm-hmm.
Some things that he had me remember and told me just hold on to them like a squirrel with those nuts. Hold on to them. You may not use them right now, but hold on to them. Man, them good things we have about ourselves, them good thoughts, them good memories, somewhere in there God left a map, a part of something to help us go further because he knows what's the upper head.
Yes,
God knows what's up ahead of us, man. That hunger, all that is about, it's about choices,
amen.
Man. Again,
I don't want to interrupt you, but I believe Pastor Jenkins is on the line, and
okay,
of course, you know me, you always kept it 100 one another. Let me correct you with one thing. When you got to that point when you said that God finally talked to you, no, God been talking to us. It's just that you finally heard him.
Hey,
yeah,
you finally
amen.
Heard him, dog.
Thank you for that, brother.
Amen.
Thank you. You're right. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Amen.
I don't know. I got a couple of them on here, man. I don't know which one would be Pastor Jenkins. Let's try this one. I'm gonna open this one up. Pastor Jenkins, is it you, Doc? I don't think that's him. We'll go ahead and let you go back and listen in.
Okay.
Pastor Jenkins?
Can you hear me?
Let's see. Pastor Jenkins, is you? Bless you, man of God. Man, listen. Yes, sir, we can.
Bless you, man. Bless you. Bless you, brother, and good morning to you. Man,
it's
good to have an outlet where man can speak. As God has so created them to speak and don't have to worry about what vernacular they use and how many words you know and all of that. So it's good to be on this line with that. Just know that, we are made of God as free model agents. That means that God made us and gave us the ability to make a choice. Obedience without a choice is not obedience. So
yes,
we can't
sir.
Say we obey God if there's no challenges, there's no options that we have. Obedience means that I had another choice, but I chose, to stay with God. And so we as men, we have to deal with the temptations that are out there. We got to deal with those things that we've seen. That we know do not align the word of God, be it a relationship with a female, wife or other, girlfriend, all that, or our relationship with one another. And if we set the groundwork, one of Minister Cox's favorite words, he always wanna set the groundwork, wanna lay the groundwork. If we set the groundwork with brothers as we meet them, then we can determine our relationship with that brother. If we can never set the groundwork with him, we'll never know. Some relationships are like a yield sign, And so we could help that brother for only so long. We can desire it to be a green light where we always have that brother there, but we have to determine that. And when we determine that, then we can determine how much to invest in the change of that. We don't get saved by quoting scriptures.
That's right.
That never was the intent of saying if you say these things now you're saved. We took the liberty to suggest that that's what God meant. And the scripture teaches that there is change that takes place. Now conversion is the process, But confession doesn't change the man. Conversion does.
Wow.
And if we can't get them, they with us long enough for conversion to happen,
Yeah.
And I'm talking about Tupaco. I'm talking about in his natural and in his spiritual man.
Yeah.
That happens. When that happens in the spirit man, you'll see it in his physical man. You know, you'll see that. So a brother can wish a lot of stuff, but if that spiritual conversion never began to take place, they used to use the word regeneration, you know, regeneration. Then we changed it from being, you know, born again. I've been born again. I've been reborn. We start adding a lot of that to it. And so we find brothers and meet them at different stages in their life where they're confused about confession and conversion. And
yeah.
So they said, I said that already. And different. Yeah, you did. You confessed. You confess, but there has to be a changing of the heart.
That doesn't happen immediately.
Some people say, man, I see Jesus Christ, I stopped drinking. I stopped drinking immediately, right away. I stopped drinking, you know. Well, you were so occupied with God, you follow me, until he controlled that appetite that you once had. And in being occupied, conversion took place.
Yeah,
wow. And so you're able to deal with that. And
yeah.
And so brothers like you brothers on the line, I was sitting listening because I want to absorb you know, what we were talking about. We've got to find ways to also redeem that.
Yeah.
You know. I heard us mention about how the preachers of old, they would guard their lives in such a way. G-U-A-R-D. G-U-A-R-D. They would guard their lives in such a way that as they mentored you, you wouldn't see what they knew their flaws were.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Indeed.
My spiritual pastor today, almost 40 years now, I never heard him cuss until I was probably in my 20-something year of following my pastor. And I was around him, and I still around him. I mean like around him. I mean where you sweep the restroom and you mop the restroom and you put that pine o' pine in there so it can smell good when the folk come in to that little old bitty cafe of a church that we had there in Acres Home. And so our brothers now haven't seen that kind of dedication to the Lord where they discover later that he has refrained from allowing me to even hear him use a cuss word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was major, major dedication. Now we like to say, you know, well, man, we all come short and you know, all that's true. But you have to have a standard if you want God to use you and if you want to mentor others. So we don't have to broadcast that I'm just a man like the next man. We don't have to broadcast none of that. One old preacher used to say, if you walk in a barbershop, they know if you're a man or if you got some challenges. Y'all know what I mean.
Yeah.
Y'all know what I mean.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Right. I apologize, man. We down to our last minute of the broadcast.
Okay.
Listen, why we do this? I want with the little bit of time I got left. Man, if I would have known, listen, we're gonna have to get you to come back on. Let's do that. We're gonna get you to come back on. We're gonna get you to come back on, man, and we're gonna get you to share. That's why we're gonna do that. I'm gonna get the past with Evangelist Cox and get you to come on,
come
man,
back.
And join.
Yeah.
But listen, I want you to, yes, sir, I would love that. I would love that. What we're going to do, Pastor Dinky, we're going to get you to pray us out. Get you to pray us out this last little bit that we got, man. And I apologize that we didn't have enough time for you to get in here and do what you do, man. But go ahead and pray us out, Doc.
All right. You don't have to apologize. It's a divine moment. It's up to us now whether we keep it going or not. The scripture declares, oh, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It didn't say we had to do it in evil. Sometimes we can do it in the morning. And so with that, Father God, we come to you now and we praise your name for this program, Man Up. We thank you for these brethren who have resumes, God, that only matter to you, shouldn't matter to nobody else, because we all, Father God, are filthy rags in your sight. We pray, God, that something was said today from one brother to the other, that brother would take and allow that to marinate today, Father God, and make us better men. We thank you for where we've been. We thank you for where we are. And we're praising you already for where we know, God, you're going to take us next. Bless this day, God. We thank you for those men, God, for some gave some, but others gave all. And so, God, we thank you for those men who sacrificed on that physical battlefield. Now, help us, God, to make the spiritual sacrifice on your battlefield, that we may win those whom you place in our lives through mentoring them. God, we pray it now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you guys so much for joining us this morning on the Worldwide Gospel Connection. Apostle Daniel Douglas. We had our fantastic guest, our friend, our brother, none other than Evangelist Coleman Cox, and with us as well is Pastor Jenkins. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. You guys remember that all things work together for the good of them who love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose, and we all stand with purpose. Amen. So listen, those of you all who do not have a church home, we are the pastors as well of the Abba House International. Also, we have Pastor Jenkins. Pastor Jenkins, what is your church?
The Providence Church. We're in Independent Heights on 403 East 43rd Street. We exist to touch, turn, and transform lives with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Or you can look us up on Facebook, the Providence Missionary Baptist Church.
Listen, y'all know where he at now. So those of you all who are looking for a church home, those of you all who are looking for a place of worship, remember the Abba House. We have also Pastor Jenkins, his church. You guys get in a church home, get into a place to where the word of God is being preached and the lives that they live in is an example. It ain't just something that we talking about. It's something that we live every day. So listen, God bless you. Thank you guys for tuning in and being a part of the Worldwide Gospel Connection. And you guys know what, you know how we do it here. We just want to thank God for everything that he does and everything that he do and for who he is in our life. Amen. Amen. God bless
Amen.
You. Y'all guys have a fantastic
Amen.
And beautiful.
This song says, God's mercy kept me. So I wouldn't let go. Anybody in here ever felt like giving up, just throwing in the towel, just giving up? I'm not going to ask you to hunch anybody, but just look at them. That person you're looking at is here tonight only because of God's mercy and his grace. Somebody ought to just tell God, thank you for your mercy.